You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. The news that's rocking the NBA, the Miami Heat have offered their extension to superstar Bam Adebayo. And that, of course, creates some implications, at least in the views of a lot of Heat fans, as to whether or not they can lure an additional superstar next season. So we wanted to get into all of the nuances regarding the deal and how it impacts their ability to bring in another player. And I talked to Keith Smith, salary cap expert from Yahoo Sports, Real GM, and elsewhere. Nobody knows the salary cap as well as he does, or he's amongst one of the top most knowledgeable people regarding that specific area of the NBA. And so I wanted to get his perspective on everything. And I'll just say it's not as bad as a lot of people are thinking. Moreover, though, this is the right move for Miami. Regardless of whether or not you can get Adetokounmpo, or whether or not you can get Kawhi Leonard or Victor Oladipo or whoever is available next year, the reality is the Heat are built upon taking care of their players. And you don't get as good a player as Bam Adebayo and then not take care of him. I'm not sure if their machinations for next season. There's no team that I would trust more to be able to pull off something unexpected than Miami. But as far as taking care of Adebayo, that's crucial. You get that done regardless of what the next season entails. I think Adebayo is as good a player as you're going to get around the NBA. He's a top 15 player already. He's shown that there's a need for him to continue to develop offensively. But he is a do-it-all center, the blockbuster centerpiece for this team moving forward. He's a superstar. He's your top recruit. As good as Jimmy Butler is, as great as his connections around the league are, and as much as people admire what he does, Adebayo is the future. Here's my show with Keith. If Keith is at one end, knowing almost everything there is to know about the salary cap, I am at the other end going, hey, this guy's getting paid. This guy's not. So make sure you listen. A lot of explanation there. It'll get you up to speed and everything you need to know. Moreover, though, there's still hope. The Adetokounmpo dream is not dead. Regardless of what you might be hearing or what others might be saying, it's still very realistic as a possibility. I'm joined now by a frequent guest of the show, one of the best salary cap experts around the league, also a good friend from Yahoo Sports, Real GM, and SB Nation. It's Keith Smith. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. It's exciting time. It's been a whirlwind of activity over the last week. This has been fun, but I'm good if the NBA offseason goes back to the regular pacing next year.
Yeah, I keep talking about this because, like, to me, there hasn't been an offseason. You know, The NBA finals ended for me in October, and now it's free agency and trades and the draft. And I remember trying to cover the draft and thinking to myself, I have no idea who these kids are. Like, there's no video on them. There's very little footage to back this up. How am I supposed to know how this guy from TCU is going to fit on the Heat roster?
But right?
That's a whole other story. As far as Bam Adebayo, obviously, that's the news of the day, getting everybody really riled up here on Heat Twitter. Do we know any basics about the structure of the deal at this point in time?
Yeah, I think we know a couple things. What we know is he has agreed to the full 5-year contract, which is clearly that's huge for him and for the Heat. We don't know if there'll be a player option at the end of that or not. Jason Tatum got a player option. Donovan Mitchell got a player option. De'Aaron Fox did not on his. So it kind of, Bam is, he's in an interesting spot because I don't know that, and I don't mean any disrespect towards him. I don't know that he might be like a half a tier below Tatum and Mitchell, but he's a heck of a lot closer to them than he is De'Aaron Fox. So whether or not he could kind of demand that player option or not, that's going to be the interesting part. I think the second part to it is he signed just like Tatum and Mitchell did. His contract has got I like to call it escalator language. So he'll either start out at $28.1 million next season. This is assuming what the salary cap is projected at for next year, which that's 25% of the cap. And then 5 years, it'll be $163 million. Or if he makes all NBA again, or if he wins Defensive Player of the Year, or if he wins MVP, that last one's probably a little unlikely, but I could see either of the other two happening. He will get $33.7 million in a total of $195.6 million. What happens is he is what's qualified as a it's designated player, but a lot of people will call it Rose Rule. They're slightly different things, but it doesn't matter enough to get into that part of it, which allows, if you meet the criteria, to go to the second max salary tier with that. So if he gets there, the other thing that could happen here is there could be language written in there where, if, let's say, he made all NBA third team this past season. So if he makes third team again, he may get something like 27% of the cap. If he makes second team, he may get like 28.5. And if he makes first team, he may get the full 30% of the cap. That's that middle tier max salary. So that has become more and more common in recent years. We saw that happen with Ben Simmons and Pascal Siakam this past year. They both had that escalator language in there where it was, you know, all right, well, we've already seen you can make all NBA, but we'll do this. So yeah, it's going to be interesting ultimately to see where that number lands, because clearly that about 5.6 million or so makes a pretty huge difference to what the Heat can do going forward. But either way, they've got their guy locked up now long term.
Well, I did misspeak. He actually made the all defensive team last year, not all NBA. So he was one of those.
Not.
Yeah, he was one of those players on the cusp. I think that it was Gobert.
Right.
Yeah, Gobert.
Right,
I think.
Right. Yeah, I thought he made all NBA too. You know why? It's because I picked him to make all NBA. So he clearly should have. I was correct. All of the other voters were wrong.
that's the way it always works. I think every other voter feels the same way, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So all right. So let me rephrase then. So he needs to make all NBA. And I don't know what his escalators are in there, if there are any or not, but if he makes all NBA or he wins Defensive Player of the Year or MVP, he'll qualify for that middle tier max.
So does he just have to reach those once during the course of the contract? Okay.
No, he needs to do it this year.
This year in order to get the boost.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. And then it doesn't, here's where it's kind of weird. Let's say he wins MVP this year. He'll qualify for that middle tier max, that 33.7 starting salary. Mm-hmm. Then let's say the year after that, he's like, I'm good. I want an MVP. And then all of a sudden he starts averaging 4 points per game and stinks. It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. He's already qualified. He's on that contract for the rest of the next 5 years.
Unbelievable. There.
It doesn't change anything. It's just a qualifier for where his first year salary will start.
So I didn't know that about the player option on that last year. You think it has a lot to do with the kind of pull within a franchise that a player might have? We're still waiting for details. I would imagine, given Bam being viewed internally around the front office as a centerpiece for this team and the building block for the future, that they would probably feel comfortable giving him the player option. Does it necessarily mean that he's looking for a way to get out of this team? No, I think he just wants to have that kind of flexibility and player control that a lot of players around the league wants. And for a player like Fox, I'm a little surprised that he wouldn't request it, or at least it wouldn't be given to him, given again that they're viewing him as the kind of player that they want to build around.
Yeah, I think with Fox, the case is that's a guy, he's never made an all-star team.
Right.
Does he have that kind of pull within the organization? I think it really is. Are you a true franchise building block? And if the player is going to come in and say, either give me the player option, or I only want a 4-year max, or you know what, I'll just wait, I don't want to sign it at all. Then you get into the restricted free agency next summer, and that can, you know, become kind of a silly mess, and nobody really wants that. So I think in general, what you're seeing here is guys like Tatum and Mitchell, and it would not surprise me at all if Bam got one as well, is looked at as, hey, this guy, these are franchise guys. If that's what it takes to get them on a 5-year deal, just give them the player option. And then we'll hope we'll be good enough and take care of them well enough that 5 years from now, they'll be fine to re-sign with us. Really 6 years from now, because they've still got one more year left on this current deal. You know, we'll be good to go. We'll re-sign them and bring them all back and go from there. And I think for Bam's situation, right, he's 23 now. Mm-hmm. So what he would want to be able to do is get back on the market again in 2025 when he's 28 years old, because then that's probably your last max deal There you kind of consider you'll get two maxes and then kind of see, unless you start becoming like LeBron and those kind of guys. But my guess is that's kind of what he, you know, his camp will be going in on, but we'll ultimately see. But we know it's a 5-year deal. It's either a 5-year deal or it's a 4-year deal with a player option at the end.
My conversation with Keith will continue. You're listening to Locked On Heat. I've talked to you before about how difficult it is for me sometimes to keep track of everything that's going on because I've got to be chasing after my son, got to be following the latest news regarding the NBA, and sometimes I just need a snack, something to keep me going. I don't have time for a big meal. That's why I grab a Built Bar. They're so good for you. They're so delicious. They're the perfect snack that gives you everything that you're looking for. And right now, if you're dreaming of a white Christmas, make sure you come back to BuiltBar.com on Black Friday, where they'll be introducing their all-new white chocolate bar while supplies last. Their white chocolate cookies and cream, and of course, their salted caramel flavor. So good. And right now, if you get an order from BuiltBar.com, you'll get 2 free candy cane brownies just in time for the holiday season. Go to BuiltBar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED to get an extra discount on your order at BuiltBar.com. Stay up to date on the latest news, roster changes, rumors, and more. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the newest episode. Obviously, the larger view here, especially from Heat fans, is how this impacts the team's ability to sign a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo or another max level player. I know it cuts into the salary cap situation for Miami pretty significantly and basically makes it a non-possibility, correct?
I don't want to call it a non-possibility, but what it does is it makes it much harder to get there because what Miami did. So let's talk about what they did kind of before this extension, right? With the guys that they've re-signed, so Goran Dragic, Myers Leonard as re-signs, and then Avery Bradley, they all got 2-year deals, or what I call a 1-1, because it's a 1-year deal with a team option,
right?
And what that means, so it's essentially they're now on the same timeline as Andre Iguodala, who that's what he signed as an extension last year. So what the Heat can do is they can wipe those contracts completely off the books next season with no worries. So hey, it's kind of funny because, you know, a lot of people are, man, Dragic made, you know, $19 million, you know, right, 1 year and 19 the next. It's not really, it's really more of a one-year $19 million deal. You sign them to the team option because let's say everything kind of goes haywire on you, except he's still great. Now you've got that control and you can keep him. So that's what they did. They kept their flexibility there with Bam. Now, Bam's cap hold, which, you know, just without getting too deep into it, a cap hold is essentially a placeholder, that goes against your salary cap. And that's, how you then have the right to resign that player, was $15.3 million for next year. So at a low end, his salary is going to be 28.1. So call it almost $13 million. Then on the high end, it's 33.7, so $18 million. So he's either the Heat are going to see their obligated on their books either go up by $13 million or up by $18 million. Now, they really only have the only guaranteed salaries that they're going to have on the books as of this point right now, and I don't think it's going to change all that much, is going to be Jimmy Butler at 36, Bam at 28 or 33, KZ Okpala, which is a little weird, at 1.8, and then they will have Precious Achiuwa on his rookie scale deal at 2.7.
Hero too.
Well, so Hero has technically has a team option for next year that they have to decide on that basically right around the start of this season. Clearly for $4 million, if for some reason they don't pick up that team option for Tyler Hero, that means he did something really awful to Pat Riley or Andy Ellsberg's family somewhere, because clearly you're picking up a $4 million team option for Tyler Hero, right? That's right. Just insane, right? So you're gonna have that $4 million on the books. Then it gets a little tricky with a couple guys. The couple guys it gets tricky with are Kendrick Nunn, because he's eligible to be a restricted free agent, cap hold of about $2.1 million. And more importantly, Duncan Robinson has a cap hold of about $2.1 million. Now, Dragic, Leonard, Iguodala, Avery Bradley, they've all got team options. But like I said, you can easily just wipe those away. And then that doesn't mean those guys are leaving. You can just take care of them after you do your other business. But you would wipe those away to get, you know, Giannis or Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, maybe. Paul George, a little bit of a weird fit, but yeah.
By wiping out, you mean like renouncing their rights completely? Correct. Or okay.
Well, what you do is you decline the team option for like Iguodala is the easy one because his is just a flat $15 million.
Right.
You would decline that $15 million team option, then you would renounce his rights, which wipes everything completely off the books. And then you have, like I said, you'll have Bam, Butler, Hero, Akpala, Precious Achiuwa. And then unfortunately, the other piece of money that's definitely going to be on the books is Ryan Anderson's stretched salary of $5.2 million. So that there's nothing you can do with that. You got to work around it. So if you're the Heat, you were sitting there with kind of your max space of about $60 million. All right. So we ate into that by 13 to 18 for Bam. So let's be optimistic. Say Bam reaches all, you know, all sorts of great stuff. And that's 18. So that's going to knock it down to about $42 million. Then I'm going to knock off $4 million because they're clearly going to keep Tyler Hero. That knocks it down to $38 million. Then let's say they decide, all right, Kendrick Nunn, we're going to let him move away, but we're certainly going to keep Duncan Robinson. That's $2 million. Now we're down into that $36 million range. They'll have a draft pick next year. So that draft pick would be on the books as well. Plus whatever else they did to kind of fill out the roster there. So you're already really easily down to about $36 million. Now that's in the range-ish of Giannis's number, of what you could maximum get to. But then you got to look at it as that would leave you with, which is not bad by any means, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Bam, Tyler Hero, and then some young guys, Achiuwa, probably Duncan Robinson, and then KZ Akpala. So now you're kind of down to there. And what that tells me is now I got to really fill out my bench with the room exception, which that'll be right around $5 million next season, as well as the minimum contracts the rest of the way, because Giannis is going to demand basically every bit of your cap space at that point. So it's not impossible, like Ralph from The Simpsons.
Right.
It's not impossible. It's just there's now work that needs to be done. Where had they held off on Bam, that $13-18 million flexibility makes everything that much easier to get there. Again, we just walked through the math. You can get there fairly easily. It's just you've got work to do now to get there. It's just going to be a little bit different.
And do you think they kind of work this out with agents? Like, I mean, in advance, obviously there's no way of knowing for certain whether or not they've talked to, I can't remember his name, Sarastis. Is that the agent's name who represents both Adebayo and Adetokounmpo?
Yeah, Alex Sarastis, I think it is.
Yeah. So do you think they kind of work this out so that they could present some issue, like in saying, look, in negotiating the deal with Adebayo, like, do they say, by the way, we also have enough flexibility where we could potentially create another max situation, not necessarily angling for a player like Adetokounmpo, but just kind of hinting at saying, we know how to work this flexibility. We know how to put in the work that you described in order to create that space for another player next season.
Yeah, my sense would be if you're Bam Adebayo, you're going into that negotiation. One, you want to maximize your own earnings, but you also want to have an understanding of what's going to be around me in the future, right? Because in everything that we have ever seen from Bam is he's a team guy, right? He's not just, you know, give me all the money you can. I don't care who else is here. I'm only playing for the money. He's never given off any, air of that kind of attitude. And let's face it, if he did, he wouldn't be on the Heat. Right. They don't go for that kind of guy. He'd already be out of town and long gone. So my guess is you're having that conversation from the Heat side with Bam and his agent, or it could just be his agent with no one is openly mentioning Giannis, as we saw with Bogdan Bogdanovich. That would cause some problems and bigger problems, because let's face it, those two guys are in different stratospheres as players, and it's about a year difference in when he's a free agent.
Right.
But you're hinting of, hey, we still have enough room for a max free agent, Right. Maybe somebody you represent, right? And you're kind of putting that out there. Then the thing is, if your BAM becomes that kind of approach of, well, do I want my money right now? Players in general want their money locked in and guaranteed as soon as they can get it. Because, right, you know, things happen, right? I mean, Gordon Hayward, now that's a bad example because he just got paid $120 million again. But, you know, you have a serious, Sean Livingston back in the day, you blow out your knee and it's really horrible. All right, you know, now what? Where are you left? So you want to have that contract locked
in. I always point to Isaiah Thomas too. I mean,
yeah, IT, perfect one. Yeah. Yeah.
When I was talking about Jay Crowder recently, I mean, looking at whether or not everybody thought it was a lock for him to come back to this team, he kept hinting at wanting security above everything else. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, he's been traded five times over the length of his contract. And he was playing alongside IT when he saw how, well, basically
five times. He's already 30 years old. Yeah. He's not in a position, you know, Goran Dragic can feel comfortable. He'll have 1 year. He can go down the Udonis Haslem path to some extent of just keep rolling over 1 year deals for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, and they'll keep taking care of him.
Well, he's getting paid this much in 1 year as Jay Crowder's making over the next two. So, I mean, that's
you know, what's funny as you say that too, I explained to people too with Dragic. I said, let's look at Goran Dragic's contracts, plural, in about three seasons. Then we add them all up, and then that's how we look at it, right? Because the Heat gave him this big deal this year. He's if they go, you know, superstar hunting next summer, he's not going to get a big deal. Then he may get a big deal on the back end of that. We'll see, because, I mean, he's, you know, clearly at a, you know, different point in his career, where he's 34 now. So, you know, he's getting up there a little bit. But, yeah, so so to go back to BAM, you have that conversation, right? Of this is where, you know, these are the different options we can do. And then I think if you're the Heat, because again, you can still get to that max space, you kind of leave it to him to say, what do you want to do? And then if he's like, I want my money now, not an issue. Let's go. We'll go for it. Because the reality is Miami is not going to let the presence of KZ Akpala, Precious Achiuwa, and Duncan Robinson's cap hold keep them from getting a superstar like Giannis if available. So now what you can do is, if you're Alex Tsiratsis, you can go back and have that conversation with Giannis and say, you know, hey, as you're looking at what is, we know, a supermax offer from the Bucks, you can still say, here's what our options are a year from now if you don't want to sign this. Toronto still is in play. Miami's in play. You know, X, Y, and Z teams beyond them are in play that maybe he's not as interested in. But you can have that conversation with him, and you can have that conversation with a different level of clarity, because you know for certain now what's happening with BAM.
Reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and, as always, leave a review. I wanted to continue talking to Keith about the salary cap situation regarding the Miami Heat and what other alternatives they might have for adding to their superstar roster. There's still hope. There's a lot that can be said about this, and I think it's still a great deal, a great move for Miami and for Bam Adebayo, of course. And Keith, who knows just as much as anybody about the subject, concurs with me. Listen in and find out. Now, I realized that also Mo Harkless and Avery Bradley's deals this year, they were signed via, I think they split an exemption available to them in order to sign them this year. And so they still have a biannual exemption next season as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, now here's where that gets a little tricky for Miami. Is they what they did was they split the non-taxpayer mid-level exception between Bradley and Harkless. Why that's important is Harkless's salary is the exact same amount of the biannual exception, but rather than use the biannual, they gave it to Harkless now. Now, what that does is they still have the biannual this year, $3.6 million. They could still go spend if they wanted to bring in another free agent. The challenge with the biannual is you lose it for next year if you use it this year. You can only use it every other year if you use it. So if you use it in 2021, you don't have it in 21-22. Now, the other piece, though, is if Miami goes this route of going under the cap, you lose that biannual exception. Because if you go under the salary cap and you're going to use cap space, you lose your other exceptions and they are replaced with only the room exception. Because the NBA doesn't allow you to use cap space, then double dip and go in all these other exceptions. Because you think we build super teams now. Only imagine, you know, what a team like Miami could do if it was we used cap space, then we had a $9.5 million and a $3.7 million and all these other things. You know, they're good and they're smart. They, you know, have all sorts of guys coming out of their ears. So that's the challenge for the Heat. Is what I would say is they're preserving their maximum flexibility for next year right now. So next year they could easily stay over the cap. Let's say Giannis signs the supermax, mm-hmm. and the Heat go in and are like, all right, we're not getting Kawhi Leonard, none of these other big free agents or anybody wants to come here, anybody we want. All right, we're going to pick up that team option with Goran Dragic. We're going to pick it up on, you know, Avery Bradley. We're going to bring back Myers Leonard. Basically, we're going to run it back with these guys, some tinkering around the edges, and let's go. Because already a pretty good team, you know, let's, you know, go down that path. Then they stay over the cap and they still have the biannual to use for next season. Let's say we get late in this season, they're like, yeah, we have a pretty good sense. We can land one of these max guys. Giannis doesn't sign it. You may see Miami use the biannual this year on the buyout market or something like that.
Right.
You know, where then they can go and offer a nice contract to somebody, or let's say somebody gets hurt and a roster need, you know, becomes available, that they could, you know, easily waive, you know, one of the lower end roster guys and pick somebody up with the biannual this year. So everything they have done is about creating that flexibility. They lost a little bit of it by signing Bam to this extension, but not enough of it that it's going to make too huge of a difference. The other piece I think we just need to recognize is too, just because this is the same agent, there is a world that exists where Alex Horatsis was very clear of Giannis is signing the supermax. He's not coming. He's going back to Milwaukee, and the Heat looked at everything and said, all right, let's get Bam locked up. Let's have that done. Then we can do whatever else we need to do later. That world does exist, because that is, you know, just again, because it's the same agent for the players, where that is something that we could see happen.
Now, there is also the sign and trade possibility, right? I mean, if he signs that max, you could still trade for his salary cap space anyway. I can't imagine what that would entail for a two-time MVP player like Adetokounmpo. Like, you'd have to clear a significant amount of salary in order to incorporate his contract next season, right?
Yeah, you'd be bringing him in at a $33.7 million. So you get a match salary on that. So that's about, let's call it $28 million-ish in that range there. So you're going to have to, you know, get up to that number. Now, again, the deals the Heat signed, not too hard. You pick up the team option for Andre Iguodala and Myers Leonard, you're basically there. Let's say, you know, but clearly if Miami's doing a sign and trade of Giannis or for Giannis, the Bucks may say, we want something nice back too. You could do what's happened a couple times in the past few years, a double sign and trade, where maybe they sign and trade Kendrick Nunn or Duncan Robinson or both and send them back to Milwaukee. Or, you know, if they, I don't think they have any desire or want to move Tyler Hero, but let's say, you know, if it's Giannis, but see you later, Tyler Hero, right? Yeah. Like, well, we'll move him as well. So yeah, that certainly exists as well. They could do the sign and trade, you know, if that's what they wanted to do. That's just now, it's the easiest thing to always do is have enough cap space to just go sign the player. That is the easiest path to always have to go get yourself a superstar. But rarely in the NBA is the door entirely closed to you to make that happen. They would have to, you know, maybe juggle some stuff around the hard cap, because you do become hard capped if you acquire a player via sign and trade and those things. But again, these are all things that you can work around relatively easy. What looks weird for me is, or I shouldn't say weird, what looks like a potential, it's just going to be a thorn in their side, is that $5.2 million. For Ryan Anderson. That's,
and how long is that salary on the books?
Two more years, this current season that we're about to start, and then next season, and then that's off the books. So that's just $5.2 million. That's just kind of, you know, taking up room that you'd rather have. You can't do anything about it either. You can't restretch it. It's already been stretched or anything like that. That is, oddly enough, that is something teams have occasionally talked about is, you know, doing a restretch where then maybe the $1 million penalty goes on it and stuff. And I think that's where people's eyes start to glass over. And it's like, this is already complicated. Why are we making it harder? But that's something that was talked about. There was even talks of, you know, what if we set it up so that you could have like one time a year, you could trade dead money. I could move that dead money off to somebody else's books for you. And I think that's something that's gone, you know, kind of in one ear, out the other, you know, as that gets proposed. But that's the only thing. I mean, but that's like you said, that's like a little, you know, that's like a little annoying mosquito bite, if you will, that's just going to annoy you, but you work around and you move on.
Didn't they have some discussion prior to the bubble about perhaps incorporating another kind of wave, amnesty clause or something along those lines for teams?
Yeah, there was, when it looked like things were really going to be completely awful with the finances. Yeah. And it looked like things, you know, we were talking about salary cap that was going to drop by $20 million, $30 million. There were teams that were like, we want a one-time amnesty clause then to wipe a salary off the books. And basically the reason those things never go too far is the well-run teams like the Heat come back and are like, no, why do we want to help out you? Cause you're dumb and signed a bad contract. You know, you should have to live with that. You know, make that, you know, figure it out yourself. Whenever the amnesty clause has come in the past, which is why it had some support this time, was when there was major CBA changes that affected, let's call it 2/3 or more of the teams, where it was like, hey, this is the only way to help these teams rebalance. And that's why there were some credence lent to, yeah, we could see maybe an amnesty clause come back as a one-time thing, just because of how bad things are. And, you know, a team, you know, could use that to get off a bad deal. The thing with the Heat is, if you looked at it, who's your bad contract? They don't, you know, maybe you'd use it to get off Kelly Olynyk, but I don't even think so. I think you'd rather let that play out this year, because he's still, you know, a useful rotation player for you. So that was more of the challenge was too. I think the smart teams like Miami, who have kept their books relatively good, are like, no, I don't want to help out, you know, dumb teams that sign bad contracts.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Olynyk, because I am woefully bad at salary cap situations here. But if you're somehow able to trade Kelly for, say, a future pick of some kind, or maybe a player that you can, I don't know, I'm not exactly sure how it would work out, but if you're able to move a Linux contract this year, does that negate his salary cap hold on your salary cap?
Yeah, he would have about 19, because it's really up there. A $19 million cap hold for next season. Or next off season, I should say, in July. That would be it. I don't know that you would. I think you would just rather renounce him. There, you don't really trade to get off cap holds. If you want to get off a cap hold, you just renounce the player.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, that's why. Yeah, but what he does have value is as a $12.6 million expiring contract. That does have value, because, you know, expiring contracts always have value, and an expiring contract attached to a guy who can actually play has a lot of value. So, you know, if they needed to do something, let's say they, you know, we're deeper into the season and they're like, we're good up front, we need another guard. They could clearly move Olynyk in a deal with no problems at all. I don't think you're going to see Miami do anything that takes another dime onto next year's books, because everything they've done other than this BAM extension has kept next year's books as clean as it can possibly be.
Now, that's kind of debatable as to whether or not Olynyk is still a valuable player. I mean, leave it to a Celtics guy to kind of offer his perspective here. No, hey, he fans are not fond of Bubble Kelly. Like, he started off well, and then he kind of tailored off there towards the end. Not a great playoff showing for him. So I think a lot of people were ready to move him.
That makes me sad.
Olynyk, you know, I love Kelly. I'm a big fan of his, like talking to him and everything. He's a great player. I think he has a lot of value. But I don't know that he's tradable. Like, a lot of people, we debated this also. Is like, is he still a contract that you think is viewed favorably around the league? Because I'm not so sure.
I think right now, because he's expiring now, that makes it pretty easily. movable at $12.6 million. You're not having to send out a ton to get that contract, and then you bringing him in on the other side. So I do think that makes his deal movable. I just looked it up. I mean, he shot 40% from three.
Last year.
Like that's pretty good. I get it. The guy, here's my thing always with Kelly Olynyk is he'll have these weeks where you're like, yes, this is the dude. This guy is great. And then unfortunately that's followed by a month where you're like, this guy is awful. Get him out of here. Maybe that's just me being mad because I'm extremely jealous of his hair. At this point in my life, but maybe that's all it is.
No, I think actually it works against him here in Miami. Like being
does.
Like being a guy like that who looks like a retread from a grunge video of the early 90s, he's just not as popular as he should be because he's like a multi-talented, versatile offensive player. And somehow he's just like, get him off the court. I don't even want to see him out
there. That same thing happened in Boston, man. I can't tell you how many times people are like, trade this guy to Portland already where they'll appreciate him.
Bring back the Sonics just so they can sire kill you.
We used to get a lot of, send him to the Raptors too from, everybody from Canada is from Toronto, which I've also, made that mistake. Once upon a time too.
He is like from the exact opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah, like Kamloops, right? Yeah, he's on the western side of Canada.
Grizzlies.
For the Heat's perspective, then I guess my last question is, given how the other teams that are kind of jockeying for this salary cap space next year, Toronto, Dallas, how do they stack up to Miami as far as the cleanliness of their books? Are they in a better position now than Miami because of the BAM extension to sign Giannis Antetokounmpo or somebody else?
Yeah, Miami and Toronto are in pretty similar spots because you can almost think of it, it very different circumstances. But what happened is with Fred VanVleet and, re-signing there. Because if you think about it, I'm not comparing these guys as players at all, just strictly as salary slots. Pascal Siakam's basically equal to Jimmy Butler. Fred VanVleet is now basically equal to Bam Adebayo. So they're about in the same spot. They've got a little, they don't have to do the whole get rid of the team options kind of thing because they don't have any of those. But they're about equal in terms of the way it works. Now Dallas is a really interesting one because what the Mavericks did was they shed all sorts of their long-term money. When they got rid of Seth Curry in a deal, they got rid of DeLon Wright in another contract. They have cleared all sorts of stuff out. They could legit, without a whole lot of work, be down to Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, and a couple role players on mid-tier contracts of about $8 million or so. So they're the team I think that you got to keep an eye on if Giannis doesn't sign the Supermax, because then you're also looking at it as, their pitch becomes a little bit different, right? Because Miami's pitch is come here and play with Bam Adebayo. And as much as we all love Jimmy Butler, an aging Jimmy Butler. Toronto's pitches come play with Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, and we'll kind of figure out the rest of it. Dallas's pitches come play with Luka and Porzingis, who are still in their early to mid 20s. So that's where their pitch is a little bit different from everybody else's, because that they're just starting from a slightly different point, a younger point, I guess, is the place to be. It just starts to become there. Now, Dallas and Miami, comparable in that there's no state taxes in either place. They're both fairly warm. I mean, clearly Miami's warmer than Dallas, but, clearly warm weather market. And, I know people like to yell and scream about that stupid, but we know that does matter. These guys do care about that. That is a real thing. So that's, those are the things. But from a salary cap standpoint, Dallas can get there the easiest. Toronto slightly easier, but they're pretty comparable to Miami.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty comprehensive. I knew I made the right decision by asking you to come on the show. Go ahead.
The one true part of NBA knowledge that I have. I might think Kelly Olynyk's still good, but at least I understand the salary cap.
So if you had to gauge Miami's chances at bringing a player in next season, I know that's almost impossible to do because so much can change over the course of a season, even half a season. they're still in pretty good shape, right? I think I see a lot of, you know, woe is me talk on Heat Twitter, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as it should be, given especially the strength of that front office, which you've hinted at a number of times. You don't get a better team, I think, that knows exactly how to work those intricacies and in order to accommodate a superstar player. Like, again, they were able to do so just a couple seasons ago with Jimmy Butler, and it worked out pretty well for them. You think you would say, in your expert opinion, that Miami's still in pretty good shape to add a quality player next year?
100%. Yeah, they're fine. They didn't do anything today that takes it completely off the table. It just made it a little bit harder. That's all. But it's not even a little bit harder to the point of, now we got to do these 38 moves and convince people to do these things. We're going to have to pay first round draft picks to get off salary. It's not even that bad. It's just more the worry you have now is to do this, you're kind of sapping a lot of your opportunity to add depth to the team.
Right.
But that's okay, because if you're that good, if you have Giannis, Bam, and Butler, and then let's still say you've got Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, all now, and then Goran Dragic is coming back. You know that, even if it's a minimum deal. Now all you got to do is just look at it, you know, all these guys, and what's going to happen next summer it's like not this year's, but last summer, where there were a million really good free agents and there was a whole bunch of teams with cap space. And even at the end, there were still a lot of good guys that were like, man, I'm pretty good, but all the cap space is gone, because it all went to, you know, these six players. The Heat then are going to be able to pop in and be like, hey, you want to come here? I know all we can give you is the minimum or the room exception, but contend for a title. You'll do this, do that. You'll play here. You'll be our starting small forward, you know, whatever that pitch is. And that's how you'll fill out the roster really well. And I say this all the time. There's two guys you don't want to be going into a room recruiting against: Masai Ujiri and Pat Riley. Because until those two start going head to head for guys, you're going to lose. You know, if it's all things are equal, if you're going up against one of those two guys, you're probably not going to get the player. And that's where, you know, if you're Miami, you're still in fantastic shape to do just about whatever you need. Because again, the way they've lined this all up and done this flexibility. And I think the best part is, for this coming season, for a team that just went to the NBA Finals, they're largely running it back. They lost Jay Crowder, but he's the only rotation guy so far that's gone. And they added Avery Bradley, who's pretty, you know, a good defender. Right. And they added Maurice Harkless, who's a nice versatile forward. So they added some talent there. And I think Precious Achiuwa, he's going to take a little while, but I think that was a good draft pick. So you kept your flexibility, you added talent to the team. You can't really ask for much more than that. That's, you know, they have a lot of built-in advantages by virtue of being in Miami. But then when you add that on top of really smart people running the team, that's why the team is consistently good.
Well, I appreciate that incredible outside perspective. Thank you so much for adding an air of positivity on what could be perceived as a gloomy day. Do you have anything to plug? I know you're probably working on a ton of stuff before the season starts, but is there anything particular that you want to plug, or just at least tell my listeners where they can continue to follow all of your great work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. You can find my written work at Yahoo Sports, Real GM. If for some reason you want to go and clown on Celtics-related stuff, you can find my work at Celtics Blog as part of SB Nation. And I'll just have a lot of off-season stuff coming at all those places. Now, instead of the preview side, it's going to be the recap side of what's happened as the season starts and what feels about like 5 minutes from now.
Many thanks to Keith for taking the time to come on the show and give his incredible input and perspective on the deal. If you want to continue to get as basketball smart as Keith, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get podcasts. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support.